Welcome to the SPS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room and central office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I'm your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed, my personal website, beardedtecheduy.com, or of course, the digital learning page here on My SPS. I'm excited to bring you today's interview, but first, I do have one announcement. And that is, this is my final episode of the SPS Digital Learning Hour brought to you by me. I am no longer going to be in the Springfield Public School District. I've been here in the district for 12 years, and it's been a very informative, exciting, positive 12 years. And I'm thankful for my time as a classroom teacher in the district and my time helping teachers and bringing out the best in their working with their students. It is sad to be going, but I am off to other adventures. One thing I am going to do is I am going to continue with my blog, and maybe I'll even come back with my own Bearded Tech Ed Guy podcast. But that is all stuff down the road in the future. For now, I just want to leave you with this last interview. It was fantastic. It was awesome. These teachers are great that you're going to learn from today. But I will be sad to go. I will be sad to miss this time with all of you. Hopefully you do follow me out on my blog, and I'm excited for what the future holds for me. And I'll be excited to see how this podcast evolves for the future, as it's already set up and can't leave everything to just one person. So when they find the person to replace me, hopefully they'll continue along in spotlighting teachers and updating you all on the different things happening here in the district. But I'm very thankful, especially for the last 7 years of being able to do this podcast, and I'm excited to bring you this final episode. So for today's episode, for today's interview, we meet with Faye Dolson and Anna Meyerhoff, both from Zanetti, both pre-K, K teachers who are pretty awesome at what they do in the classroom. And it's exciting to hear how computer science gets integrated into pre-K and K in ways that you probably weren't even aware of. So go ahead and check it out.
My name is Anna Meyerhoff. I work at Zanetti Montessori School. I have been here for 18 years, and I teach pre-K through kindergarten.
And my name is Faye Dolson. I am also at Zanetti now. I had taught at Herrera for over a decade. So not quite as long, but I'm happy to be here now.
So it sounds like both of you have a lot of experience here inside of Springfield Public Schools. Can you talk about what it was like teaching 10, we'll say 10 years ago, to cover both of you then?
Absolutely. I mean,
I think one of the big things that has changed is that the rigor is more for kindergarten. When I first started, there was not the same expectations for when you leave kindergarten. You needed to be reading, but you didn't need to be reading at such a high level. You needed to be able to know your numbers and do a little bit of math, because it was before the Common Core state standards. So that really pushed all of the learning a little bit further.
Absolutely. And I would echo those sentiments and just add that also, I would say if I took a snapshot of my classroom 10 years ago, I certainly didn't have technology like a Promethean board. My students were just barely getting access to laptop computers. And it was something that I almost could say that I was a little bit hesitant to incorporate into the classroom at that point.
Yeah, now that I think of it, I had like one desktop computer over in the side of my classroom, and the students would have to rotate through with like a very specific time so that everybody could get a chance during the week. So very much changed, because now every kindergartner has a laptop.
Absolutely. And every classroom at our building has a Promethean board, which we are now very well versed at using and just having a lot of fun with the kids.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you missed the time when you would have to go to the copier to make a transparency and write and get the paint all over your, or the marker all over your hands, arms.
I'm very grateful for my document camera.
Yes. Agree completely.
Yeah, document cameras are fun. Have you two, since you've been at Zanetti and since you came over from Marina, have you two always worked together?
Yes, we're really lucky. When Faye joined Zanetti, we became team teachers in the afternoon for our kindergarten groups. And I think it was a match from the start. You know, we had sort of seen each other around the district for years and years. But when we started collaborating together, we really felt like we could play on each other's strengths and always like to work together to try to maximize the learning and the social emotional care of the classroom.
Beautifully said.
Thank you, dear.
So a moment ago, you just said in the afternoon. Now, do you have two different groups each day?
We have a special schedule because we are Montessori and we have blended ages. So in the morning, we have what's considered a morning work period where it's our preschoolers and kindergartners together. And then we have lunch and recess. And then there's kind of like a splitting of the groups. So my kindergartners join Anna's kindergartners, our preschoolers join together, and they go with our assistants for a little bit of read aloud and learning some phonics work, and then they're settling down for a nap while we are doing kindergarten work. So it's our ELA block, so there's a lot of our reading, writing, and that is also when they go to specials.
Yeah.
So you both miss out on nap time.
Sadly, yes. Sometimes on the weekends, if I'm lucky.
So with the kind of packed schedule that you have and being Montessori, how does technology work into that? Because my understanding of Montessori is that there's a lot of hands-on, a lot of singing, a lot of dancing around, a lot of movement with the learning. How does technology, not all of it, is something that you can do that with?
Well, one of the things that, well, two things. One, we're very fortunate to have Melissa Zeitz in our building.
Yes. Shout out, Melissa.
Yes. And the second is that because there are some unplugged things that we could do, it makes it very easy for us to incorporate the technology. And we were going to need to do it anyway because of the modules, the computer science modules that we actually both were involved in piloting 2019-2020 school year. So we both had some familiarity and we were going to need to do it. And so we just kind of put our minds to making it, I don't want to say Montessorized because that kind of is a made up word, but putting a personal spin on it that works with our environment, the materials we have, and just the way we manage the groups, if that explains it.
Yeah. I think that that makes a lot of sense, especially because I think what first led me to that pilot training was not a super comfort with technology and a hesitation. So I figured putting myself out there and trying this course, it would open my eyes to some things that maybe would really benefit my students. And we've definitely seen a huge shift in them with some of these pieces of technology. But starting the foundational work with a lot of unplugged activities was really just getting them into that, you know, computational thinking, the algorithms, the sequence of steps, and they do those sorts of things all day. So it kind of felt, you know, like a great fit.
So being that you are kindergarten and pre-K, and only a couple of years ago, we had to be doing all of this remote, where technology was a big part of it. How did that all work for you all? Because I can't imagine kindergarten and pre-K going
remote. So that was a wild time. I think
that is a nice way of putting it. I would say nerve-wracking. I had many students who referred to me as the teacher in the box because that was the best way that they could explain that I was like, they could see me they could interact with me, and they thought it was some kind of wonderfully personal television show.
That's what I was just going to say. My children, who were also simultaneously remote learning, would say, oh, your kids are tuning in for the Mrs. Meyerhoff show, because I'd be standing in front of my laptop, dancing around, singing, reading books, you know, zooming them in. So it was certainly not an easy time, but I think it kind of threw us all into the world of possibilities as far as technology goes. And so although I wouldn't wish it on anyone again, I would definitely say that we were able to take away some, you know, some key learning from it for moving forward, you know. And if you can take a positive thing out of a really tough situation, I would call that a win. So,
yeah. Absolutely.
I think that it also gave families a window into the expectations of kindergarten and preschool, because it's kind of sight unseen. It's like the mystery, what does happen at school? So I think it kind of let families know that it's not just cookies and graham crackers, nap times and stories, which is what many people had as their preschool experience. It was just going together and being a group. And it gave parents a chance to see that there really is rigorous work that happens.
Absolutely.
Now that that time in our history is done, you normally, you are the first line for these students at your school. By doing it remotely, since we've been back, have you had any of those students come up to you or say hi to you? Or has there been any interaction? Be like, oh, there's my teacher in the box, as you have put it earlier.
Funny enough, one of my students who I had transferred from her, because I was at Harina then, and he transferred to here. So when he saw me in person, it was like, he was like, you're real. Like, it was, his response was completely like, you're not in a box. He couldn't kind of process it because he thought it was some kind of show. But it was great to see, like, then I got to be his kindergarten teacher after knowing him when he was three. So we had a time apart and then we got back together. So it was pretty nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, since we have the multi-aged classroom, you know, some of my students that were still in preschool, then I had them in person. And, you know, I think it was just it was a time to build really strong relationships with students and families. And that definitely continues on. So see them in the hallway. They're like, Mrs. Meyerhoff, you know, we made it through that tricky time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned a little bit ago that you took away some important lessons from that time that are applicable now. Can you share what some of those are?
Absolutely. One of the things that I really found that I liked was being able to use different previewed pieces of technology to enhance the curriculum that we're teaching. So whether it be pulling up some real images of different creatures that we were studying or reading about in a poem, also the fact that it's really very easy to connect with families via Zoom or, you know, some sort of a remote conference for the families that can't come into the building. Of course, our doors are always open now, but that piece, that family connection, I think is important. And I think the last one, too, is just that technology is your friend and you shouldn't be afraid of it, because the world we live in is just becoming more and more, you know, woven with technology throughout everything that you could possibly imagine, whether it's going through a self-checkout line at the grocery store or, you know, ordering a gift for your family member who lives out in California. Right. It's just, you know, it improves your life if you let it, but it doesn't have to be your whole life. So, you know, finding the appropriate times to use it.
Right. A balance.
Yes, absolutely.
A balance. Because I hope it never happens, but if we did have to go back remote, I think it would be different now, because we have all of us have more experience, and the learning curve for so many of us was like, how do we Zoom? How do I navigate? How do I hook up all of these monitors in my house? How do I, you know, can I get the document camera from the building, like to set up a whole station? Yeah. So that whole learning curve would be like cut down to nothing. And that fear that so many teachers had of like, how do I do this? Because none of us had been Zoom teachers before.
Absolutely.
And so that whole fear, there was real fear in many of us of, am I doing it right? And even, was there a way to do it right?
Yeah, it's always tough. And it's nice to be able to look back and take away strong lessons from it, too. Yeah. So let's jump to happier times. So yeah. I know I visited your classroom for a computer science lesson recently, and Melissa was saying you're doing a lot of great things in the classroom, and you also mentioned that you kind of helped pilot it back in 2019, 2020. So that curriculum now has had 3 years to kind of percolate and get refined. So what are you doing with computer science right now?
That is a great question.
It is. I think we're doing a lot, but it doesn't feel like a lot. Some of the things are very small changes that we've made to routines that we've had. And then we are doing the modules, which there's not a ton of the modules, and we've been able to weave them all in the afternoons during our writing time, which has the most flexibility for us. And then there's other pieces that we've both been able to do in our separate classrooms in the morning so that we can kind of include the preschoolers so that they're getting some exposure.
Absolutely. One of the things also that we've done, because we were familiar with the modules from the pilot, is look at what we are currently teaching during our ELA block, sort of tweak or modify the lesson slightly so that they fit within the content of what we're actually teaching. So if we are doing, you know, a retelling or, working on an algorithm, we would use, you know, some of the books from the collaborative classroom to have them do a retell or a sequence of steps, you know, and although it, again, it's one piece, it's not a lot of extra work. You know, Faye and I, we have lunch together every day. We'll quick, you know, while we're talking and we're eating, pull up a couple images, you know, put them into the computer. And then now we have that shared resource moving forward. So that's been really helpful. And then I know that Faye has been involved in this awesome professional development through this year that's really been encouraging her to say, hey, let's try out some other types of robots that we already had in the building. So, you know, the B-bots are a really exciting piece for a lot of the students, but we've had exposure to a couple other programmable robots, which has been really fun and gets the students jazzed and, I mean, gets us jazzed. So that's been really awesome.
Yeah. And some of the things, and I mean, there's some that have been ordered this year that came in. Yay. but there were other things that were in the building that just hadn't gotten used. Because again, it's kind of that uncomfortable feeling. If you're not comfortable and you're not going to take the risk, it's like, why am I going to do something that might flop with the students? So that we're, thankfully, we're both willing to flop and take the risk, but because we're pretty good collaborative team, we haven't had a big flop yet, except the day that the B-bots didn't charge.
Which the students very, very quickly picked up and said, oh, there's a bug in our algorithm. The B-bots are not holding a charge. So, you know, they will point that out all day long, different parts of our day. So, yeah.
That's great. It's really nice, too, that you're willing to flop in front of the students, because it kind of sets up that standard that it's okay to mess up and it's okay for things to not go right. And how do we move on instead of dwelling on those things, which, as they get older, they'll see the flops and call them failure, when the reality is it's just the first attempt in crime.
Exactly. Right. It's a problem that is solvable.
It's true. right? And that's what we want to do. We want to build these resilient kids that are not afraid of a problem, that see that problem and say, hey, what are the solutions I can use to solve this and move forward? So absolutely. We're okay to flop in front of them. They're pretty forgiving.
They are.
Fifth graders are not as much. I taught
exactly.
Fifth grade, so.
Not so much.
No.
I know we only have a few more minutes, and I have two things. One is, what are the other robots other than BeBots that you all are using?
My students have seen the Cubetto, which is a little cube on wheels. He's made out of wood, and he's got a cute little smile. I say he, but I don't know if it's a he or not. It's very cute, and they've seen it, and it is a little different because you don't program it by pushing the buttons on it like the BeBots. It has a separate board where you put the arrows in, kind of like, is it a turn? Is it forward? So it's a different way. And they have been like, can we do the Cubetto? Can we do the Cubetto? And I played around with it last night. So Friday, they will get to see the Cubetto in action. And we have Kibos.
The Kibos are honestly
fantastic.
We can't say enough great things
if
about Kibos.
If you can get them in every building, get them in every building.
Absolutely. And the Kibos are really fun because the children will build the algorithms using blocks. So they're able to use a start block and then connect it to, you know, a forward block and a, you know, right turn block. And then they get a chance to scan in the different steps in the algorithm. And that's been really fun. And there's a lot of extension work that goes along with them. And I will say my daughter, who we don't live in Springfield, she was telling me about her computer science and is explaining her robots. I was like, we're using the same ones in our class. And we had this like fun shared bonding moment of we're both doing this fun computer science work in our own spaces. And, you know, she's in second grade, but it just the joy in her face and whole demeanor when she was like, we can connect on this level, was really special. And I really hope that our students are bringing that joy home to their families so they understand, like, we're doing some pretty amazing work.
It is.
Awesome. Well, last question, and then I know you have to go. As teachers, we don't take care of ourselves very well. When we, back in 2020, we read the Distance Learning Playbook, and the very first chapter was all about self-care. So that's my last question to you is, what do you all do for taking care of yourself?
That is an excellent question. I would say that my best way of taking care of myself is through exercise. I really like to move my body, even though I feel like sometimes I don't have time to do it. I make it a priority, and I'll either go for a spin ride or do a yoga class or even just try to take a walk outside with the dogs. And moving my body in that way feels good, and it's really just for me. And then I feel able to handle all the unknowns out there a little bit better. So that's definitely my self-care of choice.
That's so healthy. I do not do that. I like to sit with a good book, and maybe not even a good book, something light and silly that is just an escape. So, yeah.
Which is also amazing. So don't be fooled. I also like a really nice special chocolate dessert. So can't be healthy all the time.
That is true. And desserts are fun. Yes. And they go with both of those things, exercising and reading a good book.
Exactly.
Yes. Chocolate goes with anything.
Yes.
It's true. That's why I bring it anywhere I do a training and make sure I have some chocolate.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. Taking time out of your day. Enjoy the rest of the day. I know it's starting to look nicer. It's not necessarily warmer, but it's starting to look nicer.
Yes.
We know it's coming. It was our pleasure. We're really happy to check in and chat. And we hope this helps some that are a little nervous out there. Give it a go. You won't be disappointed.
Do the modules. And if there's money in your budget, ask for the Cubettos.
Yeah.
Or the Kibos.
Yeah, the Kibos.
Anything.
Exactly. Anything with a Q at the beginning.
Yes.
Sound at the beginning.
But if you've got the BeBots, use the BeBots.
Yeah, of course. BeBots are fun, and there's a world of possibilities out there. So, yes.
Thanks again.
Take care.
Bye.
Wow, hopefully you were inspired by that interview. I know I definitely am, and I hope to take a lot of the things that I learned from both Faye and Anna and apply them into what I am doing next. I hope that you are able to take that too. Faye and Anna, thank you for spending time. If you're interested, I will put a link in the show notes to a video with some of the clips from that video being from their classroom. So I hope that you check that out too. I hope that we meet again at some point in the future, whether it is on Bearded Tech Ed Guy podcast or whatever happens to be. You can always find me out on Bearded Tech Ed as the socials and BeardedTechEdGuy.com as my personal website. But for the last time, this is Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SBS Digital Learning Hour.